In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this evening is recorded in St. Luke. We read in chapter 23, verses 27 to 31. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross we gather this evening to remember. The prophet Isaiah had foretold that the coming Messiah, although afflicted and oppressed, yet he did not open his mouth. After the mob had arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had very little to say. There were times when someone like Pontius Pilate asked Jesus a direct question concerning his person and office, and Jesus then answered. But if someone made false accusations against him, or mocked him, or tried to goad him into giving some proof that he is the Son of God, then Jesus didn't say a single word. Jesus spoke only one time between leaving Pilate's palace after the trial and when he spoke his first word on the cross. And those are words that can be easily missed along the way, the Via Dolorosa to Calvary, if we are not listening. So this evening, before we begin to hear his seven words on the cross, we hear what he had to say on the way to the cross. And that mini discourse ends with the words of our theme. If people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? We'll see, first of all, what happened to the green tree, and secondly, what will happen to the dry. Jesus is the green tree. The Greek word literally means moist. A green tree is moist from the sap. It's alive and it's still growing. You wouldn't cut it down and throw it into the fire because it's still bearing good fruit to eat and shade under which you could find nice rest. All during Jesus' ministry, right up to his arrest, Jesus was bearing good fruit. Jesus was providing that wonderful rest for our souls. Jesus is a green tree. He did not deserve to be cut down. Jesus did not deserve to die or to have to bear the punishments that his enemies inflicted. Jesus was completely innocent. No person less than Pontius Pilate repeatedly declared Jesus innocent of all the charges. Pilate's wife told him to watch out about being unjust against this innocent man. One of the criminals hanging next to Jesus on the cross said, "We're getting what we deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." And 7 centuries before the first Good Friday, the prophet Isaiah again had written, "He has done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth." Jesus was a green tree, and yet they took him and nailed him to the cross, where he suffered shamefully, where he endured a shameful death. Along the way, on the Via Dolorosa, it was quite a different crowd, wasn't it, than the crowd on the Sunday before. The crowd that followed him and met him on Palm Sunday and accompanied him into the city, sang his praises and their great joy that he had finally come. And now, the crowd was, through the women, weeping and wailing, having pity on him because he was about to die. They had shouted, "Hosanna," when Jesus had entered the city. And now as Jesus leaves the city, the daughters of Jerusalem mourned over him. They wept and they wailed and they shed tears over Jesus. What a sight he must have been. His head and his body marred by lots of blood flowing from under the crown of thorns and from the wounds from his several beatings. The sight of all of Jesus' torn flesh and that crown of thorns pushed down on his head elicited sympathy and pity from the women. But unlike as Jesus had accepted the people's praise on Palm Sunday, Jesus would not accept their pity. He would not accept their sympathy because he knew that it was only the natural human outward sympathy that a person has to see someone who is suffering. Even if that person is, say, a mass murderer, how often don't we see on the news, even when a mass murderer or some other criminal is executed, that there are people in the viewing room or on the outside of the prison just weeping and wailing in pity and sympathy for Jesus, for that criminal or that murderer. These women were weeping and wailing in that normal reaction that people have. Unbelievers might even have that for Jesus himself. Think a few years ago, The Passion of the Christ. How many people went and saw that movie? It would be interesting how many of those people ever became Christians or joined a church or truly repented of their sins. But looking at those pictures of Jesus in the film, that elicited a lot of pity and a lot of tears and a lot of sympathy for that bloody sight. Finally, that's up to the Lord to know, I guess, who really repented. We might say, and it's true, that even we as Christians, when we look at Jesus beaten and bloody on the way to the cross, we have a certain amount of sympathy for him and pity for him. We sing about his anguish and his affliction, the bonds and the stripes and the cruel rod, and the wretchedness and the scourge, the spear and the nails that wounded him, the thorns that crowned him. If, however, the only kind of tears, the only kind of sympathy that we feel for Jesus tonight or have felt during Lent is because of that physical abuse, then we have missed the point entirely. Jesus doesn't want us to simply weep tears of pity for him as the women did. He wanted them and us to weep tears of repentance. He wants us to look beyond the sight to the purpose of why he was going from the palace to Golgotha. And so, in this little discourse, the only time Jesus spoke on the way to the cross was to call these women to repentance by warning them of the coming judgment that would come against those who do not repent and do not believe in Him. He wanted them to weep for themselves and for their children for their sins, not because of the coming judgment that He announced was on the way against Jerusalem. The purpose we are here this evening again is to realize what the hymn writer says, "I also and my sin wrought thy deep affliction. This indeed the cause hath been of thy crucifixion." After Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the Bible tells us that He wept over the city because the city had rejected Him as the promised Savior. And many of the Jews had rejected Him as the promised Savior. And because of that, in about 40 years, these women who were now weeping for Jesus would weep for themselves and for their children as they would face God's judgment in the fire of Roman siege engines and horrific famine and so many crucifixions of Jews that there literally was no wood within walking distance of Jerusalem. God calls them to repentance on that day, telling them to stop being dry trees. Jesus is the green tree. Jerusalem and the unbelieving Jews are the dry tree. But they, those women who were mourning for Jesus, the Jewish leaders and others who cried, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," the Roman soldiers who nailed Jesus' hands and feet to a cross with spikes, they're not the only dead trees in this picture. We also are dead trees by nature. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And there's the question. If these things are done, or if people do these things when the tree is green, if people treat the innocent Son of God that way, then what will happen when it is dry? What is going to happen to all those who do not believe in Jesus as their Savior? When all those who reject Him as their Savior? Sadly, from what we know from the text, the women did not repent of this. In fact, they more or less challenged Christ. When Christ said, "This judgment is coming for the shedding of my blood," they cried out and echoed the words of those who had cried out earlier about Jesus, "His blood be on us and on our children." You know what that means? That means, sure, we'll take responsibility for this. Yes, we'll take responsibility for rejecting Christ, and we'll bear the consequences, and our children will bear those consequences of being dead trees so long as they do not repent. I know it's not popular today to say that those who said that were Jews, and that they called God's curse down upon their nation at the crucifixion of Jesus. But they did. And that is true. Now, of course, not all of the Jews, not all of the citizens of Jerusalem, as there were many who at this time came and did repent and believe in Jesus as their Savior. Or think of the Pentecost. After Peter's sermon all the Jews in Jerusalem that repented and believed in Jesus. But you and I are the focus of our attention this evening, and by nature we are those dry trees. Jesus suffered so much for us. Think of what we really deserve to suffer when that was laid fully on Him. We are dead trees in our trespasses and sins. What will happen were we to remain that way or go back to that way? Or for people who are impenitent and reject that new life in Christ, Revelation tells us with these words that echo the words of our text, they will say to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who can stand? Who can withstand it?" Thank God that we are no longer those dry trees, but are now green trees in that new life in Christ. We have that new life through that great exchange that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians that took place that Good Friday. God made Him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of Christ. We thank God that these things were done in the green tree because the Lord Jesus did it for us so that we would no longer be dry trees. And because we are green trees, and as we remain that way to Judgment Day, we will not have to weep for ourselves. And as we faithfully, as we sang in the hymn, share God's Word with our children, as we face judgment, we won't have to weep for ourselves or for our children. We won't have to try and find a place to hide or call on the mountains and the hills to cover us. Because we with Him are those green trees living in heaven. This evening we may weep over Jesus' suffering, but above all, we weep in repentance over our sins. And we also rejoice that those things were done in that green tree so that we could have that new life in Christ. And so we sing with our hearts, even with joy, even on this sorrowful night, the words of the hymn writer, "Lord Jesus, we give thanks to Thee that Thou hast died to set us free. Made righteous through Thy precious blood, we are reconciled to God." Amen.